us go into the world, let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that there is clarity as the truth of God's word is taught. The truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with precision. There is no confusion as God's word is taught. There is no confusion as God's word is taught. Our hearts are receptive to receive the truth of your word. And we declare that as we teach this evening, at the end of this meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Yeah, so we will just continue in that series we started on Sunday about how to handle challenges of life. You know, we titled it Be Calm in the Midst. Be calm in the midst. You know, we had a foundational teaching on Sunday. I will just, you know, try and say a few more things in today's meeting. If you have the Bibles, which I believe you should be with, it's a Bible study, turn with me to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans, Paul's letter. You know, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. You hear what Paul says to the Romans. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Look at it again. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." It says, "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." It is the power. So the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to he or she, to everyone that believeth. Yes, look at it again. "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is." It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It says to Jew first and also to the Greek. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God." So the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Look at Mark 16. Look at Mark chapter 16. Verse 15. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Look at what it says there. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. "And Jesus said unto them, Go ye into all the world," right, "and preach the gospel." So Jesus, that is the Christ, says to them, "Go ye into the world and preach the gospel." It will be the gospel of Christ. So the message that is to be preached to every creature is the gospel of Christ. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 1 verse 16 that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Jesus says, "And go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature." So every creature, there will be a phrase for humanity, not necessarily plants and animals and things like that. So he now says, "He that believeth." Now remember, Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to those that believe." Yes, so Jesus says, "Go ye and preach that gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation." Yes, to them that believe. So he that believeth and is baptized, Mark 16, shall be saved. Yes, so he that believeth, that is, or even, or I mean, is baptized, shall be saved. So there is a message presented to humanity, and there are those who will listen and believe. Upon believing, there is something called be saved. So there are those who will believe upon hearing the gospel of Christ, which is in itself the power of God, yes, unto salvation. And there are those who will not believe. So there are those who will believe, that is baptized, they are saved. So he that believed is baptized is saved. Yeah, so he that believed has received the power of God. So a man who hears the gospel and believes the gospel has or is a partaker of the power of God. So Paul tells you that the gospel is the power of God, yes, unto salvation, yet to them that believe. He that believeth are those that will be damned. Mark 16, verse 17. Now, look at what Paul, the same Paul, says about the gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's see chapter 15, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Paul tells us something very important there. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Can you see? Something is familiar in Romans, and familiar in Mark, and familiar in Corinthians. Or you can collect like terms from these three scriptures. The word, the gospel. So, moreover, brethren, Paul is writing about that same gospel. So, look at it. Jesus, upon resurrection, yes, instructed that what? They should preach the gospel. Now, Paul now tells us in Romans that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Now, Paul now tells you what the gospel is. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you that gospel. Yeah, the gospel he would have told to the Roman church, which is the power of God unto salvation. So, I declare unto you the gospel of Christ, which I preached. Yes, so the gospel is that which Paul preached unto you. So unto you is the church in Corinth. So Paul says, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached, which also ye have received. So Paul preached, they received. So it's not just receiving that Paul ended up. He says what? Wherein ye stand. Hold on. In Romans chapter 1, it says, the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. Who are those that believe? Those that believe are those that have received. So, Paul tells you, yes, the power of God unto salvation is the gospel of Christ to those that believe. Jesus tells you in Mark 16, yeah, he says that what? Go ye and preach the gospel, he that believes. So, he that believes is he that receives. So, Paul now tells you, the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received. He now says something, wherein ye stand. So, that which we heard, that we believe, that is we receive, is where we stand. Look at it. So Paul is telling the church in Corinth that that which you received is where you stand. So the believer has an eternal security in reference to where he stands. Yeah, the believer is perpetually, continuously in a perfect standing with God through the work of Christ. Yes, by faith we are saved, right? We're saved by grace. You know, so Paul now tells you, he says, when ye stand, by which also ye are saved. Hold on, hold on, hold on. Jesus tells you in Mark 16, he that believes and is baptized is saved. So he that believes is he that is baptized. Yeah, so Jesus wasn't teaching water baptism. We've done a whole, you know, lot of series, you know, I'm trying to tackle that. Yeah, so he that believes that is baptized is saved. Right? So he now says, by which also ye are saved. 1 Corinthians 15, 2. He now says, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you. Now, what did Jesus say? Go ye and preach. So in going into the world, that is human race, that is humanity, to preach the gospel, there are those who will not believe. There are those who will hear and not believe. And there are those who will hear, that is, they will believe, that is, upon believing they receive, that is, they are saved, that is, they are baptized. So if you are one here today listening to the God or listening to this right now and you've heard the gospel, believed it, yeah, you've received the gospel, it means that you are baptized, that is, you are saved. Yeah, to be baptized means to be in identification with the work. Yeah, so we are baptized into Christ. Romans 6 shows us that. Okay, let's go to Romans 6. Romans chapter 6. Go back to that Romans. Romans chapter 6. Go back to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6, 4. Look at Paul in Romans chapter 6, verse 4. He says, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, right? By baptism into death, right? That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So that is, we identify. We identify with the work of Jesus. It means we have been baptized into his work. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Corinthians again. Look at 1 Corinthians. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So Paul tells us something vital. He says, that which I preached is what you received. That is where you stand. And that is what got you saved. Right? Now look at verse 3. He now says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." So what Paul delivered is what he received. You see, the gospel is the message of God, of Christ, or the message of God in Christ, that people are to hear and receive. Look at, see, Paul first of all received before he delivered. Right? So, "For I delivered unto you that which I first received." What did he receive? So, what Paul received is what he delivered. What did he receive? How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Now, so, it means that the death of Christ for sins is according to scriptures. The death of Christ for material prosperity is not according to scriptures. It's according to human knowledge. Yeah, it is not taught in scriptures. Look at it. He says, "How that Christ died for our sins." So, Paul did not leave an open check there. He didn't say how that Christ died according to scripture. No, he told us why Christ died. He died for sins and that alone. You see, if the saints can come to this understanding of how prosperity is not found in the work of God in Christ Jesus, the death, the burial, the resurrection, it will save us a lot of frustration in the future, in the nearest future. See, it's not far-fetched for you to teach that the gospel deals with the prosperity of mankind. It is not according to scriptures you would teach it. It's human knowledge. It's human emotions you would have to follow. Yeah, see, Paul tells you, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. So what the scripture teaches as what Christ would die for is what? The sins of mankind. Look at verse 4. "And that he was buried, yeah, and that he rose again, and on the third day, according to the scriptures, yeah, and he was seen of Cephas, then the 12. So Paul says that this is the message of the gospel, that when you heard, which is what we're asked to preach from the scriptures, you believe, that is, you receive, that is where you stand. So it means that as a believer, the gospel is not just something we believe, but it's something we stand on, or something we stand by, or it's something that we use as a perspective to view life. Yeah? So our standpoint as believers is the lens of the gospel. Our standpoint as believer is the lens of the gospel. Yeah? The perspective by which we view life is through the lens of the gospel. What is the gospel? How that Christ died for our sins. Yeah, you see, a wise student of the Bible will leave the full stop or the comma where the Bible leaves it. Yeah, there's no point using dot dot dot. Yeah, it is for sins. Yeah, once you can understand that, see, that doesn't go as far to say, or as much to say, that miracles don't happen. No, miracles do happen. People have their needs met supernaturally. Yes, people have their needs met supernaturally, right? But what Christ came for, it is for sins. It is for sins. The earlier we understand that, the better for our mental health in the nearest future. See, that's why you see a lot of times people get disappointed in God. Yeah, but in the real sense, you are getting disappointed in a God who did not promise you what you are blaming him for. But in the real sense, your approach to scriptures promised you. Are we together? Yeah, you see, so a man promises you that this is what God says he will do by the work of Christ, and it doesn't come that way. Yeah, so what you start doing, instead of fighting a man, you are fighting God. It is a man that said it. Yeah, Paul tells you, he says, see, this one I'm talking about, that's the gospel, it is for our sins, and I'm talking according to the scriptures. Are we together? So it means that in life, as believers that are living in the midst of humans, or in the midst of other humans, there is something we have that is unique to us. Look at Ephesians 1. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Look at verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings." Funny enough, you see a lot of us read that scripture and remove that word spiritual before the blessings. Look at it. "Blessed be the God and Father." So, blessed be the God. That word there, "and," is kai, which is "that is," I mean, "which is." So, blessed be the God, I mean, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, the God that is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has blessed us with something. Yeah, that blessing that the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has blessed us with is only limited to those that are what? That have received the gospel. Okay, hold your thoughts in Ephesians chapter 1. Go to Galatians 3. Let's play around with a few scriptures today. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Galatians chapter 3. Remember, your hands are actually in 1 Corinthians 15. Yeah, but we went to Ephesians chapter 1. Yeah. Now we are going to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Look at Galatians 3, 26. For ye are all the children of God. Now, is it everybody on earth Paul spoke to? Nope. He was speaking about the saints. Look at it again. For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized. Hold on. Mark 16. Go ye into the world. He that believes and is baptized is saved. Paul tells you, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, you put on Christ. What is Paul saying? For as many of you that have believed the gospel are saved. That's using Mark 16 words. Yeah. So for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. So what makes us to associate with the work is by believing in the work. By believing you are baptized, that is, you are saved. Go back to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1 verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. It says, blessed be the God that is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed. You see, the word there, blessed, is the Greek word heology, and it means to speak well. So we speak well of the God that is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He didn't say all blessings on earth. In the New Testament books, the word blessing is never, not for once, used for anything material at all. Yeah? So the word there, blessing, we've done a study on the word blessing. It deals with two Greek words. It's either makarios or eulogy. Eulogy means to speak well. Yeah? To speak well, to praise. Yeah? Why makarios means to be fortunate about something. Blessed as fortunate, or it is more blessed to give than receive. It is more fortunate. It is fortunate to receive or to give rather than receive. Yeah. So it's not saying that when you give, you have more blessing. In fact, a common theory on this earth disproves that law. Speak well of the God that is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all. So this particular blessing Paul speaks about in Ephesians chapter 1, we have to be sincere enough to use the word or to use that quality or that word that qualifies the kind of blessing. It is spiritual. So when he says spiritual blessing, it means they are blessings of the Spirit. Where are they found? Look at it. Not in earth, in heavenly, in Christ. So the blessings that Paul spoke about in Ephesians chapter 1, they are found in heaven in Christ. Are we together? Yeah, not in earth, not on earth. So these particular blessings are limited to those who have believed the gospel that have been baptized. So there is something the believer has that is different from an unbeliever in this world, in as much as both believers and unbelievers are faced with the challenges of this world. What do we have? The Holy Ghost, the Spirit, the spiritual blessings. He now tells you what blessings are before the foundation of the world, in whom we have redemption, we have redemption through his blood, verse 7. We have forgiveness of sins, verse 7. He abided towards us in all prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, the dispensation of fullness of time, Christ. He now tells you in verse 13, that which you've also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, that is the gospel. So, what Paul called the gospel of Christ as the power of God to salvation, Paul tells in Ephesians, he says, the gospel of your salvation. Glory to God. So there is something we have that we receive, and that is where we are to stand. That is where we stand, and that is where we stand through, or that is where we present or view this life from and through. So the gospel contains God's plan, God's thought system, God's logos, God's message. It is the power of God unto salvation. Now, over and over, we've come to establish that there's something called the finished work and the ongoing work. Now, what are the finished work? The finished work includes, produce results that we call the eternal life, redemption, righteousness, salvation, forgiveness of sins. Those are done. So a man who believes the gospel has received forgiveness of sins. Yeah, perpetually. So a man who receives the gospel perpetually, continually lives in God's forgiveness. Are we together? Yeah, but there is the ongoing work. For instance, we will say prayer. For instance, evangelism is not done. Yeah, giving is not done. Yeah, walking in love is not done. Yes, approaching this life's challenges is not done. But there is something we have that is done, which is the Spirit. Yes, the Spirit, John 3, he says that for a man to be born again, he must be born of the water that is the Spirit. So we have a new life. Hallelujah. So this new life that we have should be the yardstick by which we view the challenges of this world. Hallelujah. So look at it in this way, in the real sense, yeah? So we have the activities of Satan in this world through men. So the mere fact that we live amidst men and amongst men is a basic, you know, a fact that will be exposed, and there's a tendency for us to yield to the flesh. As long as we're exposed to men, there's a tendency for us to yield to the flesh. There's a tendency for us to yield to the flesh than to yield to the spirit, than to yield to the word. Yeah, see, that you yield to the flesh doesn't mean you are not born of God. Hey, you are born of God by believing the work of God in Christ Jesus. But life will always throw challenges your way. Life will always happen. Life will still happen. You know, life would, you know, things that you plan for will not usually go as you want them to. Yeah, things, except you don't plan. Yeah, things you hope for, things you look forward to, you know, things you expect might not always go as you expect, except you don't have any plan at all. You see, if you pick a man who's in his 30s, let's say 20s, yeah, and he says everything in his life has gone as he wanted it to go, it's either of two things. It's either he's not someone who has had too many plans, or it's someone who is just, you know, who is just saying it for fun. In the real sense, because we're in this world, life would always have that tendency to shake us, to shake our faith. On the long run, it is the devil trying to have you to yield to the flesh. But there's a view, there's a perspective, there's an angle, there's a standpoint we have to view the world. Look at Paul in Romans 12, the same Romans 12. He already told us the power of God unto salvation is the gospel. See what it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. See it carefully. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. See what Paul says. Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, yeah, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hold on. Paul tells you, do not be conformed, but be transformed. Please look at that again. Paul says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Be not conformed. To conform means to, you know, to mold yourself or to mold your mind and character after another pattern. Yeah, to fashion oneself according to. So Paul says, don't fashion yourself according to the pattern of this world. Glory to God. But be ye transformed. Not conformed. Be ye transformed. The word there transformed means, you know, where you have word metamorphosis. Yeah, metamorpho. That's the Greek word. Yeah, it means to change into a form or to transfigure or to, you know, to have a switch. Yeah, so do not be conformed, but be transformed. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So Paul tells you there's something called renewing of your mind. So it means that renewing of the mind is not done. Hallelujah. Why? Because you are in this world. He says, don't conform yourself. Don't align yourself to the pattern of this world. So this world has a pattern. Yeah, but you are to be metamorphosed, you are to be transformed, yeah, by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. So we are to renew our minds, not say our minds. Yeah, we are to renew our mind, not say what our mind thinks. See, there are lots of things we would say from our minds that would sound like common sense, sound logical, but they do not make scriptural sense or gospel sense, or the gospel as the standpoint sense. Yeah? See, there are a lot of things that ideally your mind would want to process. See, we are all products of influence, right? We are all products of influence. You know, but there's a way we are to treat our minds. Why? Because when you become born again, you have God's spirit, you have the new spirit, you are born of God, you are born of water, that is the spirit, but your mind is not born again. The activity, so it means that the renewing of your mind is an ongoing process. Look at it. The renewing of your mind is an ongoing process. The renewing of your spirit is a one-off process. I'll say that again. The renewing of your mind is an ongoing process. Yeah, you are to be transformed by the continuous perpetual renewal of your mind. But the renewing of your spirit upon the new birth is a one-off process. It is that singular work that God has done in Christ that is done towards us that believe. Hallelujah. So there are a lot of things our minds want to accept, that it is really because it is a pattern in the world. Hallelujah. Yeah. So the pattern of the world says that when someone slaps you, you slap back. Are we together? Yeah. Well, look at it. Pattern of the world says when somebody does evil to you, you retaliate. It's a pattern. Paul says, do not be conformed. He says, do not align yourself to that pattern. Do not be conformed to that pattern, but be transformed. So we are not to be conformed, we are to be transformed. There is the only way we are to transform is by the renewing of the mind. By the renewing of the mind. Yeah, so a lot of times, there are a lot of things your mind wants you to say, but you have to renew your mind. So we are not taught to say our mind. You see, for a generation like this now, where, you know, social media gives everyone the privilege to say and talk as they like. Hey, no, as a believer, you are first a believer before you see yourself as a man or woman on this earth. Yeah, so we must see ourselves first the way God sees us before men see us, or before the way men see us. So we are in a world like now where everybody can say whatever they like and think they can get away with it. That's fine. But as a believer, he didn't say what? Say your mind. He says transform your mind. Transform. How do you do that? By the renewing. By the renewing. So he says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, this is a scripture a lot of us used to teach. You know, the doctrine of God has a good will and has a perfect will and acceptable will. No, God is not that, you know. You see, we cannot afford to create an image of the God we want. It's just a very, very careless way of teaching God's word in our day and time. Yeah, so you see a lady who has three men that are toasting her. He said, I want to know the perfect will. I don't know a lot of people who they told you that God, that is perfect will for them, and they broke up 1 week after the wedding. Yeah. So what Paul is really teaching about now is not about your wife, not about your job, not like you have three job offers. There's one that is good to God, there's one that is acceptable to God, there's one that's perfect to God. No. That's why I tell you to renew your mind. If you don't renew your mind, that's how you see that scripture. If you look at it, that you may prove. If you don't renew your mind, you will see that scripture as, for every crossroad, God gives you three options. There's the good option, that's just motivation speaking. Yeah, there's the good option, there's the acceptable option, and there's the perfect option. Oh, you must go the perfect option. The good might be good, but the good might not be acceptable. The good, actually, well, no, it's just twist, tongue twisters, really. Yeah, that you might know the good that is acceptable, that is perfect will of God. You see that? Yeah, that's the Greek word kai. The word there and is the Greek word kai. That is, I mean, even. So that you may prove what is the good that is acceptable, which is the perfect will of God. Yeah, it's the will of God for all man to, for all men to be saved. Hallelujah. Yeah, we've paid attention to that in time past. That. So there is something called the renewing of your mind, and there is something called the renewing of your spirit. So the saint has the rest. Look at, Paul did not say the Spirit of God will do it for him. Yeah, he says, renew your mind or be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we are to use the gospel as our standpoint in the affairs of life. The gospel is what we received, that is believed to become saved. And the gospel is the same thing that renews our minds. Hallelujah. So God is responsible for the renewing of the spirit, but the believer is responsible for the renewing of the mind. Okay, let me show you something. Look at Ezekiel. Look at Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 36. Look at Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36 verse 25. Look at Ezekiel's prophecy. Look at Ezekiel's prophecy. See what Ezekiel says in Ezekiel chapter 36 verse 25. He says, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. And ye, so this is an utterance from the lips of Ezekiel. Yeah, so then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols, which will I cleanse you. See, the only person who has the ability to use sprinkling of water to cleanse is God. So Ezekiel now tells you what the sprinkling of water is. Look at verse 26. A new heart will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. So what is sprinkling clean water? It is a new figurative for a new heart. So a born again man must be born of water, that is the spirit. That is, thou must be born by the sprinkling of water. Is really being born of the spirit, which is what? A new heart will I give you. A new spirit, oh glory to God. We have received the spirit of God. Paul tells you in Ephesians 1 verse 13. The spirit we've received after ye heard the word of truth, which is the gospel of your salvation. So I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart, you know, I'll give you a heart of flesh. I'll give you an heart of flesh, and I'll put, look at verse 27. I will put my spirit. So God, when it comes to the spirit, yeah, God takes the old and gives the new. Yeah, look at 27. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my state of status, and ye shall keep my judgment and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall shall be my people, and I will be your God. So the new heart, the new spirit, is something that we've received once and forever. What is the new heart? He says, I will give you a new spirit. Hallelujah. Look at Titus 3, verse 3. Look at the book of Titus, chapter 3, verse 3. Titus 3. So when a man believes the gospel, he receives the gospel, that is, he is baptized, that is, he is saved, that is, he is a member of the family of Christ. He is a child of God. Galatians 3. So look at Titus 3 quickly. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior towards men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to what? His mercy, he saved us. According to his mercy, he saved us. What does it mean to save us? By the washing of regeneration, that is the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Now, see, we have been saved by his mercy. According to his mercy, he saved us. The renewing, the giving of the Holy Ghost. Look at Romans 5. Let's jump back to Romans 5. Romans chapter 5. The same Paul, very beautiful teacher. Look at Romans 5. Romans 5. Look at Romans 5, 6. Romans 5 says, Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Who are the ungodly? Those without strength. Yeah? For scarcely for a righteous man, we won't die. Yet peradventure for a good man son would even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. Look at verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given. So the giving of the Holy Ghost is the new heart that God gives the believer. The new heart God gives them. So it means that the context of heart must be interpreted in the context of the text that is that we are reading. So the new heart, Ezekiel 36, is the new spirit we have. Paul tells you, we have the Holy Ghost which has been given unto us. That is, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Hallelujah. So go back to Romans 12. Where Romans 5, go to Romans 12 quickly. Romans 12 verse 1. Verse 2. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So there is a renewing done by the blood, that is the giving of a new heart, that is the giving of a new spirit, but there is also a renewing that the saint is to do. So the saint is one who stands in the perfect place of God, or the perfect place which is known in Christ. Yes. And is one who also needs to stand and view this life from the angle of that perfect place where he stands, the angle of the gospel. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God forevermore. I hope we're here. So he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, not by the saying of your mind. So we have to renew our mind. So if you don't renew your mind, you will say your mind, and you most likely say your mind and say what is not in alignment to scriptures. What have you successfully done? You've conformed yourself to this world. Hallelujah. So it means that we have to be careful as to what we expose our hearts to. We have to be careful as the things we expose our hearts to. Else, we will just find ourselves conforming to this world. So we said on Sunday that proper Bible interpretation is what helps us when life throw challenges our way. Life will always throw challenges your way. You see, let's leave all this motivational speaking. A life without Christ will be full of Christ. See, your explanation of Christ, a lot of times, it is because you are in Christ you will go through those crises. Yeah, in fact, go to 2 Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11. Yeah, see, when it comes to the word of God, right, in as much as we are to motivate and encourage ourselves, we must be careful not to align what we say to the pattern or thought system of this world. Now, you know, someone will go out and preach, for instance, and say that, you are going through crisis, you are suffering because you are not in Christ. In the reasons, he said, might be suffering. Oh, glorious Father. You see, a lot of us like to live in self-delusion. It's unfortunate, you know, and that's why, you know, swindlers will always have the best of us. Yeah, because we like to live in self-delusion. Look at what Paul assured Timothy. See, I'm assured as Paul gave Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11. He says, persecution, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch. Dear saints, yeah, most of what you know about the new birth is by reading the writing of Paul. Same Paul told us, persecution, affliction came to him. You see, so there's nothing like because you are in life, yeah, you will not face it. In fact, in the real sense, this is because of the gospel, actually. But see what it now says. Yeah, there's something to learn from it. Yeah, but out of them, the Lord delivered me. So it means that the saint must have proper knowledge to know that persecution is not something God does to test the believer. But what God does in the midst of persecution is to deliver. Look at James. Look at James 1. Oh, glory to God. Look at James, chapter 1. James chapter 1. It says, verse 13. James 1, 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. You see? So it means that God doesn't tempt, God doesn't test with evil. Look at what it says. Let no man say when he is tempted of God, or when he is tempted, let him not say, I am tempted of God. For God cannot. James gives you a solid fact about God. Hey, it says, my people, God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. So God did not tempt Adam. Right? Yeah, God did not tempt Adam. God did not test Adam. Life has a way of testing and tempting us. Yeah, James tells you something. There is a category. That grammar was plenty. Let me go back. James tells us that there's a categorical fact about God. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither does God tempt any man. God doesn't tempt, God doesn't test with evil. So if what you see that happened to Adam and Eve was evil, it means that it wasn't God that tempted Adam and Eve. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah, remember, we're starting a long series. From next month, we're going to deal with salvation from Genesis chapter 1. What happened in Garden of Eden? What is Garden of Eden? What happened to Adam? What does serpents mean? Who tempted Adam? Look at what James tells you. He says, but every man, including Adam and Eve, is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Can you see? Two facts. Man is tempted by being drawn away of his lust and enticed. Another fact. God cannot tempt man. God doesn't tempt man. So, verse 14, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when his lust had been conceived, it brings forth what? Sin. That's Adam. That's what happened to Adam and Eve. So, when it is finished, it brings forth death. Are we together? So, God doesn't tempt. Temptation comes from our lust. Think about it this way. See, the only reason why you see a man go into a store, a supermarket to steal bread is because what? He lusts after bread. Do you understand? See, as believers, yeah, God will not put a lady in your life to test you if you can be faithful. The only reason, I will not ask yourself, if you are one who is attracted to light-skinned ladies, no dark lady will be able to tempt you, or it will be more difficult for a black lady to tempt you. Yeah, so that white lady in your office is not God testing you. No. You see, when you are tempted, is a man means he's drawn away from his own lust and is enticed. Is their own lust. Yeah, it's your lust. No, you see, God put me in an office where he put light-skinned girls around me. See, the reason why you took note of all of them being light is because he lost after light-skinned ladies. Yeah, there's nothing wrong. Yeah, but you must be sure to know where the temptation comes from. Yeah, James tells you, God cannot be tempted with evil. That means God doesn't yield to the supply of temptation by man or from man. And God also doesn't tempt man. But man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. When the lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin by extension death. That is simply what happened to Adam. Adam was in lust, he was enticed, he conceived the lust brought forth sin, and the sin brought forth death. Hallelujah. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11. So Paul tells you, he says, the Lord delivered in verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. No. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. No. Say it again. No. It's in your Bible. That's why I took us there. He's in your Bible. He's in your Bible. In fact, hold your hands and go to 1 Timothy, the previous book before the 2 Timothy. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look at what Paul tells you. Look at what Paul tells you. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. He says, if any man should teach otherwise and consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strives of words, wherefore cometh envy, strife, railings, evil submissions. Look at verse 5. Perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. Can you see? So Paul teaches that those that teach that gain is godliness, he says what? They are those who are destitute of the truth. He says what? Anyone who doesn't teach what we teach, he says what? Withdraw thyself. Look at verse 5. Perverse disputings of men and corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. What is it? If you serve God, you become richer. What did Paul say? He said, withdraw from such teachings. It's a very illogical teaching. Yeah, when you come to God, you will never suffer. When you come to God, it is not true. Yeah, a lot of people, so it is not absolute, so to say. Yeah, it is not absolute. In fact, let me say what I'm saying. Yeah? So, suppose people that teach that gain is godliness. He says, withdraw yourself from them. What do we do in our day to time now? We run towards them. Yeah, why? Because we want our egos to be massaged. What did Paul tell you? Verse 6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. That is the great gain. Look at verse 7. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us therefore be content. Are we together? Look at verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through many sorrows. But O man of God, verse 11, flee these things and follow after righteousness, follow after sound doctrine. Withdraw yourself from those that teach gain is godliness. Yeah, how do I know that you're in God's will? Yeah, there's material prosperity. No, there are people that are not in God's will and they are excelling more than we, that or people that are in God's will. Let's say it that way. Yeah, there are people who are in total obedience to God, yet they lack their basic 3 square meals. And there are those who are in outright disobedience to God and they are feeding 20 times a day. No, gain is not godliness. Gain is not proof that you are godly. Yeah, material prosperity is not a sign of godliness. Think about it. Think about it this way. The richest men on earth are not rich because they are godly. Most of them, a lot of them, if I were to say, let me say, a lot of them are not godly. In the real sense of what you call godly, you know, go to church, attend, even a lot of them don't even agree that there's a God in the universe. See, that's why I say a lot of things. I say this, a lot of times, a lot of us are still faithful to God today because we are trusting Him for what we want to receive from Him. A lot of us, when we have the money that we look forward to, we might never go to church again. We might never go to church again. Paul tells you, when you see people teach that gain is godliness, withdraw yourself. When people see that, oh, come to Christ, it's all lovey-dovey. All lovey-dovey life. Oh, since I joined Christ, I don't suffer. That's not the gospel. The gospel is that Christ died for sins, according to scriptures, and he rose again. That's the gospel. Not, hey, since I was, that's not the gospel. Paul says that from those who teach gain is godliness, withdraw yourself. Unfortunately, in our world today, how do you know those who are godly? Oh, and you see a lot of them, they come out and they start becoming motivational speakers. Yeah, if you follow God, he will follow you. for every vision, there's a provision. You must catch the pro. The pro there is the word after. So after the vision is caught, the provision will come. There is no vision without provision. In fact, most Christians in Nigeria that have vision of where they want to see their lives in 10 years, they don't have the provision. A lot of them will not still have the provision. Why? Because the world is operated by men. When it's fair, where men are in control. Men are in control. Miracles happen. That's why miracles happen. They don't happen every day. They don't happen to everybody. Yeah, we believe for miracles. We believe our needs met. Yeah, but the truth remains that this world, this sphere of this universe is operated by men. A man can wake up tomorrow and say, everybody stay in your house. No money for you tomorrow. You will stay. If you like be born of God. If you like be born of God's senior brother, you will stay in your house. That's just the reality. So, look, 2 Timothy, go back to 2 Timothy. How did I get there? Yeah, so Paul says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, ye and all that will live godly in Christ shall what? Suffer persecution. Shall. It's part of the faith. Let's continue now, says in verse 13. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But what did he say? Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom you learned them of, from a child, not the Holy Spirit. So it means that no matter what happens, no matter where we find ourselves, because we're in this world, we must make sure we don't fall into the trap of conforming to the world. Yeah, but to be transformed. Yeah, by the renewing. So it means that the word of God is something that we must keep on listening to and keep on listening to. So he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do we renew our mind? We renew our mind by exposing our mind to the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Yeah, so no matter what happens, no matter what challenges that life throws at us, what do? We stick with the word. We stay with the word. We remain continuous and perpetual in our renewing of the mind. No matter what happens, we stick with the word. We are there with the word. Remember We said something on Sunday, rather. Yeah, we are to stick to the word to the degree at which the word teaches in proper Bible context analysis. Yeah, we must stick to the Bible in proper understanding or with proper explanation. So when you see the word says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Dear saints, that doesn't mean because the word says so. That's where I am. I'm what the word says. Yeah, when you say I can do all things, you cannot do all things. It's impossible. You cannot go back into your mother's womb. It's impossible. You cannot climb the roof of your house, even if it's a bungalow, and jump down. But you can, yeah, really. You cannot fly like a plane, right? You cannot get to the 10th floor of a building and jump down. So you can't do all things. You can't disappear into my room now. What we hear this now, start thinking of Philip Airline. Okay, we'll get there someday. Yeah, but in the real sense, right, we cannot do all things. So when you say, I'm sticking with the word, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Paul thought, look, go to Philippians 4:13. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. What you should not do is not pick that verse out of context and make it a favorite verse. Pastor say we should stick to the word. Pastor say we should stick to the word. For the word always works. The word doesn't always work. The word that is not properly interpreted doesn't always work. The word that is properly interpreted will work. See, the word has worked, in fact. Hallelujah. Yeah, if you can do all things, you see, if you like, make that your confession from now to this time next year and go to the wrong way of the closest airport to you and run and say you want to take off like a plane, you will not relocate to Canada. You will not relocate to the US. You will still be here. You will jump up and come down. Eh? So you cannot do all things. So what was Paul teaching? Look at 1 Corinthians and Philippians. He says, look at verse 10. 1 Philippians 4:10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me had flourished again. Wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. So it means that the Philippian church communicated with Paul in material things. Yeah, how, why do you suppose that was the way they communicated it? That is the way God meets the needs of people. Yeah, by promptings through the word in the hearts of people to give other people. Yeah, by promptings in the hearts of men to give other men. So look at verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of wants, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therefore to be content. Verse 12. For I know how to be abased, I know how to abound. So it means that Paul, who is teaching you the reality of your faith today, wasn't always in abundance. Look at it now. He says he knows how to abase. He knows how to abound. He says, everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry. So there were times in Paul's life that he was hungry, not because he was fasting, but because there was no food. Look at that. He says, both to abound and to suffer need. So it means that there were times that Paul had needs to be met. Not more of his wants. He had needs. He was hungry. Together. So Paul now says, I can do all these things through Christ that strengthens me. Simple example. So it means that what continually gave Paul strength is the reality of the gospel. So Christ remained his strength when he was hungry, when he had needs, and when he had fullness of meal to eat. So I can do all these things. All things must be in the context of all things. Yeah, you can't just look, Paul cannot just look and say, I can do all things through Christ. The reason he's saying that is because, I can live in abundance, in surplus, and in a very minute or with minute things, because what gives strength to me is not my having or not having, but Christ in me. Christ in me, the fullness of God in me. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Same thing in Romans 8. Yeah, look at Romans 8 quickly. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. So we must explain scriptures in context of what scripture teaches. Look at Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. It now tells you the all things he's speaking about. To them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Yeah, conformed to the image of the son, that he might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, he also called. Whom he called, he justified. Who he justified, he glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who shall be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all these things? He spoke about from verse 28. No believer can have all things. Are we together? No believer can have all things. No believer can have all things. To have all things means you have everything that's for everybody on earth. You know, we looked at it on Sunday. We explained 1 Corinthians 3, when Paul says all things are yours. Yeah? And he wasn't saying that everything on earth is yours. Is my wife yours? Is your wife mine? No, now. So, we cannot say in the morning, 3 memory verses. Oh, he that gave his son, glory to God, shall give me all things. That is out of context. If you don't read in context, you don't now say the next morning, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Yeah, as I'm going out today, I will just jump this river and get to the other side. That is not what Paul taught. You don't now wake up tomorrow and I'll say, all things are mine. Oh, yes, all things are mine. All things cannot be yours. All things cannot be yours. All things cannot be yours. So it cannot be yours. So we saw that on Sunday as Paul teaching about, you know, the division in church in Corinth and things like that. You won't lay your hands on that teaching. So we are to stick to the word properly explained in context. So the word is the perfect meal for our growth. Yeah, Pastor Vitti, stick to the word. And yet you are telling us all these scriptures. And the word is the perfect will. And Pastor, you know, we need to be more practical. And we need to be more practical. See, let me tell you something. When you eat eba, those of you that ate eba today, when you ate eba, you did not tell the eba, the particular part of your body you wanted eba to supply growth to. Yes? You don't eat eba when you're eating panadem. You say, this panadem, as I'm eating you, yeah, the only part I want to grow, is just my arm. Yes? So you must find your way to my arm. You grow, you eat, you grow, it builds you. You might not be able to specifically direct where that growth will come from, but you grow. Either way, you grow. So, when you eat the eba, when you eat the panadam, you won't channel it to your say, Lord, you know I need heaps. I cover this panadam. Yeah, you eat it, it supplies nourishment to your body. Same thing with God's word. Once you eat proper diet, you grow. You grow. You might not know the exact place you are growing, but you just realize your words will change over time. You realize your view on men will change. Look at 2 Peter 3. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3 quickly. 2 Peter 3 verse 18. Look at 2 Peter 3 verse 18. See what Paul says. So Paul says in 2 Peter 3, verse 18, he says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So Paul is not saying grow in grace. Then in the knowledge. The word there and is the word kai, that is, I mean, which is. Yeah, the same thing, same word Paul used in 2 Corinthians 13. Yeah, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, that is. So the word there and is not talking about three different things, but the same thing. So grow in grace, that is in the knowledge of our Lord. So how do you grow in grace? You grow in grace by growing in the knowledge of our Lord. That's spiritual growth. You grow spiritually. You grow spiritually. You eat proper diet by building your knowledge or building on your knowledge or building yourself in the knowledge of our Lord, that is Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So when you eat proper meal, you grow. It reflects in your conduct. Yeah, it reflects in your conduct. It reflects in your way of life. It reflects in the way you see life. It reflects in the way you see challenges. So how do you grow physically? You grow physically by eating. How do you grow? So you can grow physically, but not grow proportionally. Yeah? Yeah, that's it. For this part of the world, yeah, a lot of us grow and grow in only one part of our body, which is actually the part that is, you know, closer to your waist. That region, I don't know the name you want to call it for this teaching, yeah, but we just eat and we just grow in that angle, yeah, really. It's because a lot of us don't have a proper balanced diet, or we don't even take precaution to certain things we are to do. So the same way when you eat pounded yam at 7 p.m., yeah, it's advised not for you to go to bed immediately. It's the same way when you feed on God's word, it's advised not for you to tune your heart to certain things. Hallelujah. Yeah, the effort you make in not going to bed once you finish eating pounded yam by 7 p.m. is the effort you make while you renew your mind. So in renew your mind, you must guard your heart. So we bring to our full consciousness what we have eaten, yes, after we have renewed our mind. Are we together? Excuse me. So we are what the word says. How do we know what the word says? Because we've eaten the word. We are what the word says, not what we think we want the word to say. We are what the word says. So what the word says, you are complete in Christ. Yeah, yeah. You don't say, I complete Christ. You stick to the written word in proper explanation, having the contextual explanation to them. So I am what the word says. I am not what I think. So Paul gives you an example how to handle when you are in poverty. He says, the Lord Christ is my strength. I can handle poverty because Christ is my strength. I can handle riches because Christ is my strength. But one thing I will not do, I will not see riches as a proof that I am in God's will. He told you in 1 Timothy. He says, withdraw yourself from those that teach that gain is godliness. Yeah? For godliness with contentment is great gain. Hallelujah. Yeah. So godliness with contentment is great gain. So what supplies contentment to the believer perpetually is what? The reality of the indwelling of God and the saints. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews. Look at Hebrews. Hebrews, Hebrews, Hebrews. Look at Hebrews, Hebrews, Hebrews quickly. Look at Hebrews 35. Hebrews 13:5. He says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he had said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Can you see? Where should you derive contentment from? God has said he will never leave you nor forsake you. So look at it. What did Paul do when he was talking about that in Philippians? He says, I can do all these things because I derive my contentment from the work of Christ. That is, God will never leave me nor forsake me. He says, let your conversation be without covetousness, but be content with such things as he have. So that which the believer already has is in his continuous possession. Oh, glory to God. The indwelling of the Spirit. God is with you forever. In poverty, God is with you. In riches, God is with you. Yeah, is this teaching that you should not have goals to aspire to become better in life? No, not at all. But be content with that which you have. Yeah, for he had said, I will never leave you. I will never leave you nor forsake thee. Oh, glory to God. We have an assurance, yeah, that upon the resurrection, God lives in us forever. We're not timid. We're not scared. We are content with that reality. Yeah. So when life throws challenges at you, what do you do? Be content with what you have and respond from what you have. Yeah. You must have been one who has eaten the word well enough to know what you have. Hey, God will never leave me. God will never forsake me. Look how he says in verse 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Look at it. So, the Lord is my helper. That brings contentment. I am content with that. Oh my goodness. Yeah, when in poverty, I am content with that. When my bank account is showing 1,000 naira less, I am content with that. Now, what are you content with? I'm not saying content with 1,000 naira. I'm saying content with the fact that He will never leave you nor forsake you. Are we together? Yeah? So, I will never leave you nor forsake you is an assurance that we have. Yeah, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So no matter what comes my way, the Lord is my helper. He is with me forever. He will never leave me. He would never forsake me. I am content with that. He says, be content with such thing, that thing that you have. That's the confidence we have. That's the confidence we have, glory to God. That's the confidence we have. No matter what comes our way, that's the confidence we have. Oh, you apply for 20 jobs, they reject you in all of them. He says, what? He's not saying be content with the fact that you don't have a job. You see, you must get it. There are two different things. See, in teaching contentment from scriptures, we must show where we place emphasis on. He's not saying be content you don't have a job. He's saying be content with that which you have. That which you have, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be content there. So, even despite your wanting to get more or not get more, yeah, be content there. Let that be contentment. Yeah, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never. He says, be content with such things as you have. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So you apply for a job. Yeah, you are rejected. You apply for the second. You are rejected. You apply for 50. You are not the first. I will tell you, you are not the first to apply for 1,000 jobs. Yeah, you don't get it. But what should not make you depressed? Because you have an assurance. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So that you may boldly say. So He said so that we can say. Hey, hallelujah. So we put God's word on our lips. Hallelujah. So because He has said, we say. He said He will not leave. What do we say? He is our helper. Yeah, he said He will not leave us. He said He will not forsake. What do we say? He's our helper. He says, I will not fear what man shall do to you. Yeah, He's our helpmate. Yeah, so in the series next month, we explain what, you know, helpmate really is by Moses. You know, when he says God made a helpmate for man. We're going to explain. Is it really Eve? Is Eve really the helpmate for man? Let's see. Yeah, but look forward to that teaching. Yeah, so we have help. He is our helper. Why? Because He has supplied help. We have an assurance. He is with us forever. He will never leave us nor forsake us. That is the confidence we have. That is the confidence we have. He is with us always. That brings solace. Yeah, that brings solace. So, what was Paul teaching in Philippians 4? I don't derive my happiness from a job or no job. I don't derive my happiness from food or no food. I derive my happiness. I derive my strength. Paul, you will most likely not know when Paul is hungry. You will most likely not know when Paul was hungry. Yeah, why? Because what supplied the strength that people would have seen in Paul is the contentment he had with that which God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So the word of God will rule is to rule our minds, rule our thoughts. We are to renew our minds. We are to renew our minds. Yeah, you come out of the job. Yeah, you come out of the interview. You come out of visa interview. You are rejected. You are not the first. You are not the first. Yeah, there are others ahead of you. That's a hypodigma. Yeah, and you are also not the first to be accepted. Yeah, but what supplies strength to you? Hallelujah! It's what the assurance we have. The assurance. So the word of God is to rule our thoughts. The word of God is to rule our approach to life. Yeah, the word properly interpreted. So we are to allow the word to govern how we think. We are to allow the word to govern how we see life, not the word. He says, do not be conformed to the pattern the word places in front of you. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. So how you hear is not by what comes to your ears, but what you did with what came to your ears. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. That's why the disciples knew something. The apostles knew something. They flogged them in Acts 4. They said, don't preach the gospel. They went out and the first thing they did was to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They stoned Stephen to death. Yeah, that was a eupodigma, a type of shadow to what we most likely have put to death. What did they do? They went ahead. They went ahead. Whether in death, in persecution, in affliction, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. He is my present help. He is my present help. He is my forever, perpetual, continuous, eternal help. The Lord is my helper. And I will not fear what man shall do to me. So I renew my mind with that reality. Hallelujah. Look at an example with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Look at Mark's Gospel. Look at Mark's Gospel. Look at Mark's Gospel. Look at Mark. Look at Mark chapter 5, verse 35. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. How did I get here today? Okay. Let's try, say a few things. Yeah, remember, never ever forget, you are never disadvantaged. Oh, my goodness. There is no believer that is, see, head or tail, we win. Head or tail, we win. So, you go for the job. They pick you. Yeah? What still remains? You have the Lord as your helper. You have your present help. Yeah? He will never leave you. You go to your job. You go for an interview. They reject you. What remains? You have. So, no matter what comes your way. You know that song? With Jesus, I can make it. With Him, I know I can stand. No matter what may come my way, my life is in His hands. My life is in His hands. His life is in my life. His life is in me. My life is in Him. Oh, glory to God. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Look at what Jesus did in Mark 7:35. Look at Mark 7:35. While he yet spake, yeah, they came from the rulers of the synagogue house, a certain man which said, my daughter is dead, or thy daughter is dead. He now says, why troublest thou the master any further? So someone was trying to complain about the death of someone, and disciples were saying, why trouble yourself? Why trouble the master? See verse 36, the template. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. What did Jesus do? He brought to the fore consciousness that which supplies contentment. That's a template for us. So there's a way you can hear a news and not hear it. There's a way you can hear a news, but you didn't listen to it. Look at 37. And he suffered no man to follow him, said Peter and James. And he came to the house of the ruler of synagogue and said, the tumult, and they wept and wept greatly. And when he came in, he said unto them, why make you so ado and weep? That's when the damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. So they told him the damsel is dead. He says, no. So Jesus chose not to hear. The damsel is dead. Is dead, rather. Jesus chose to hear the damsel sleepeth. You see, there's a type of hearing that we are to have as believers, such that we refuse to listen to what is being said. Please take this importantly. Yeah, there's a type of hearing that we are to have as saints, in such that we don't listen, or what we hear doesn't influence what we do. Hallelujah. See, naturally, the world around us supplies words of fear, supplies message of fear. Either they are killing here tomorrow, they are killing there tomorrow, they are killing here today, they are doing that tomorrow, they are robbing here next tomorrow, they are kidnapping here yesterday, But the truth is that there's a way we can choose to hear. Yeah, in as much as we take precautions, there's a way we can choose to hear. Yeah, there's a way we can deal with negative thoughts. Yeah, as soon as it comes, what do? We remind ourselves of that which brings, or that which is to make us content. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we speak God's word that we have eaten. That word we have eaten. The words we have eaten, we speak. We give vocal expression through our words. Jesus said, no, she is not dead. She is sleeping. So we refuse to hear a certain way. We are to have a sieve, yeah, to sieve out what we hear. You see, I said on Sunday, yeah, you cannot stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop a bird from pitching a nest over your head. Yeah, I sound so motivational right now, but just take it. Yeah, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop. Yeah, you can stop a bird from building a nest over your head. So what do? We guide our hearts. We speak God's word. We transform. We get transformed by renewing our hearts, by renewing our minds. Hallelujah. So we have the deliberate effort. See, let me say it this way. The responsibility of the renewal of the mind has been given to the saints by our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul tells you, renew your mind. Renew your mind. We speak the word. You know, some of us, you know, in our emails, we have emails, you know, what you call spam or spams or emails from, you know, fraudulent guys. You see someone mask as if it's GT Bank. Yeah, and it says you click on this link to win $200,000. Yeah, you have every right to confirm. You have every right to hold your peace. You have every right to question it before you click. That's the same way we approach life. Yeah, you could not determine whether or not someone will send you a message of winning $200,000, but you can decide whether that will influence you. You have the right to know where it's coming from. You have the right to be sure where it's coming from before you click. Look at Proverbs 25:28. Quickly. Proverbs 25:28. He says, he that had no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. So we are to have control. We cannot afford to lose control to this world. Else, we need to be what? We conforming to this world. It's difficult to be in the middle. You are either for God, you are either with the world or not with the world. Hallelujah. You are either with words of faith or words of fear. Yeah, you see, like I said, we are products of influence. Yeah, what you listen to, how we talk, how we say words, how we do what we do today, we are products of influence. Are we together? We have a tendency as humans to do what we see, yeah, to replicate what we watch and see. But because we are believers, there's a way we view life. Head or tail, we win. Head or tail, we win. Why? Because he will never leave us nor forsake us. He would never leave us. See, any side of the coin that life throws at you, we win. We are forever victorious. We are forever victorious. We are forever victorious. We are forever victorious. We are content with the fact that he would never leave us to forsake us. So while we pursue our desires, our dreams, our visions, there is something that brings strength through us. He will never leave us to forsake us. He will never leave us to forsake us. You know, I give an example of a man who says, you know, a friend of his was saying, let's assume we're poor in this illustration. The guy said, he said, even your assumption, I should not be poor. Yeah, there's a way you can listen. There's a way you can use your words to channel a lot of things that people say to you. Because a lot of times, you know, the words you hear frame your thoughts. Are we together? Frame your thoughts. Frame your thoughts. The things you expose your heart to frames your thought. So what happens when life throws challenges at you? What happens? You remain calm. You superimpose that ability, that reality that we've received, the new birth, the assurance we have. Yeah? Let it be that when the worst happens in life, it meets you in faith. Hallelujah. It meets you in faith. Yeah, so we guard our heart while we renew our minds. While we renew our minds, we guard our minds. You see, a lot of times, you just find yourself singing some songs of the world. Yeah, before you know, you start giving the stars, start giving the dance style. It's because we are product of influence. Yeah, a lot of us know how to sing a lot of Nigerian songs, and we've never for one day downloaded any of them. Never for once. We've never for one day made a conscious effort to be able to learn the lyrics, but we know the lyrics. Why? Because we're exposed to things. You know, recently I started making it a habit such that when I enter a cab, yeah, and he's playing anything, I ask him to put off his radio. Should be I'm paying for your service. Put off your radio. Yeah, just because a lot of times, yeah, you know, like I would always say, it's an avenue to teach God's word, to share the gospel. But really, put off the radio. Put off the radio. Because you don't know, a lot of times, you just be saying, you just be singing. You just be singing. Before you know it, it becomes a reality. Before you know it, it's life coaching that you are singing song of, someone that his name ends with a G. Yeah? So we have to be careful what we expose our hearts to. Proverbs 18 will tell you the power of life and death is in power of the tongue. Yeah? So we remain positive. We remain calm. We remain full of faith no matter what happens. Yeah? I will recover. You might have lost a lot of things. You see, I'll recover. Yeah? Bring to your consciousness that which God has said. I said already. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Yeah? But you said, I'll get married. I'll have my children. I'll give birth to my children. I'll have my children. I'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I'll give birth to my child. I'll pass that exam. Yeah? Remember, it is to the degree of the word. But it doesn't change the fact that what? Your words remain positive. Your words remain optimistic. Your words remain. So build your life around words of faith. Positive words of confession. Say, I remain steadfast in God's work. Yet decades ahead finds me faithful in God's work. I stay strong. I'm not weak. I'm not discouraged. I'm not weak. I'm born of God. I'm full of, not just in church. Bible says in Colossians 3:16, let the message of Christ dwell richly in you. I'm full of God. I'm born of God. My sins are forgiven forever. Yeah, you know, like I said on Sunday, you don't just say, you know, pastor, you know me, I'm very emotional in my family. That's the way all of us are. Go ask my mommy. If my mom cries for you like this, you'll be shocked. What family are you talking about? We are born of God. We are born of God. We are born of God. You know, my family, pastor, in my family, you know, we pray crying. Crying is a metaphorical way of expressing the inner expression of, no, I'm born of God. Yeah, there's an option to cry and rejoice. Yeah, we're talking about the God's family, God's new creation. Look at Mark 4, finally. Let's close in Mark 4. Let's look at Mark 4:35. Oh, my God. Okay, let's close in Mark 4 and go to Acts 27. Let's see two examples. Oh, glory to God, I'm born of God. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I'm born of God, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. God lives in me forever. Look at Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 35. And the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Right? And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind. Hold on. There was storm while Jesus was on the ship. Look at it. And the waves beat into the ship. That is God, oh. That is God in flesh, oh. That is God. One would have said, how can storm doesn't have, does storm not have respect? How can storm go close to Jesus? Jesus was on the ship, storm came. Yeah, that's the problem of a faulty teaching of life will not throw challenges at you. Yeah, Christianity is not a life that promises an easygoing life. It promises an eternal life, a new life, a new spirit. That's your Lord and Savior. Yeah, look at 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the inner part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. Hallelujah. So Jesus was calm to give the words that what brought calm to the storm or in the ship. So we have to be calm to exercise authority. We have to be calm to approach God's life challenges, life circumstances. This is a template. Jesus was calm. He says what? Be still. Jesus now says in verse 40, he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said unto another, what manner of man is this? What manner of man is Jesus? Yeah, we have that Jesus on our boat. So Jesus is always on our boat. So if Jesus is the Prince of Peace, the one who is full of calm, it means that we are full of calm. That means we can be calm. Yeah? Hallelujah. So God is in me. God is in me. We can go through challenges and come out stronger. We can go through challenges and come out strong. Jesus was sleeping. Yeah, so we don't say life will not come close to me because I'm in Christ. No. The same Christ you are in, life threw storm to him. Don't let circumstances bully you. Don't let circumstances oppress you. Confront issues with boldness. Stick with the word. Yeah, you are in charge, not those circumstances, not life circumstances. Let your words be in charge. I'm in charge. I'm in charge. I will not allow life circumstances to bully me. I will confront issues with boldness, with calm. I'm full of calm. I will stay with the word. I will stay with the word. Oh, glory to God. I will stay with the word. 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 Look at Acts 27. Let's see Acts 27 quickly. Let's see Acts 27 quickly. Look at 41. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the inner part was broken with the violence of the waves, right? And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them for their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to the land, and the rest some on board and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe land. Now look at chapter 28 rather. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. The barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled the fire and received us everyone because of the present rain. Yeah, this is Paul from almost a shipwreck, you know, and all of them became cold because we were cold, rather, verse 3. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. When the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt in this man is a murderer. That is what? their thought system, what you call sacred cows, right? The way they thought. Whom thou he had escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffered not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen and fallen down, falling dead. So they expected his hand to have swollen because of that, you know, animal and to fall down suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their mind and said he was a god. He was a god. So what did Paul do? Paul did not allow the fact that something dangerous happened to him get into his mind and allow fear. The people around saw that, oh, a viper fastened on his hand. Oh, this man must be a murderer. Yeah, but what happened? What happened? Paul remained firm. He remained steadfast, even from the shipwreck. He remained steadfast. He remained there. He remained fixed. Yeah, he didn't give say, who did I offend? Oh, who did my grandfather find? Oh, and they found me. Oh, you know, so, you know, and it continues that way. You see that in the lives of the apostles, Paul and Jesus. Finally, one thing we should keep doing, no matter what comes our way, is to remain in thanksgiving. Hallelujah. We lend our words to thanksgiving. Yeah, because God has said he will never leave us nor forsake us. It means that there is always something to be thankful for. Yes, there is something to be thankful for always for the believer. The Lord is our helper. We shall fear what no man shall do to us. Hallelujah. Life would always throw challenges at us, but we are to remain what in the world. We are to remain content in that which God has said about us. Yeah. So, until I come away again on Sunday, Jesus remains glorified. Have a lovely night. Deal with life's challenges the godly way. Stay in the word. Stay in the word. Get your heart fixed on the word. Renew your mind with God's word. Eat healthy. Eat healthy. Give yourself wholly to sound doctrine. Hallelujah. For life will not always go as we plan and we expose, rather, but we are always victorious, head or tail. So I come away again Sunday morning, 9 a.m. Jesus remains glorified. Cheers. I love you all.